Hi.
Hello. Hi.
Can you...
Welcome.
Is everything... Welcome to Truly.
Darkly.
Greatly.
You know what?
We've been reading it wrong the whole time? Do you think...
Oh, my God.
Do you think we, like, all of a sudden, it's been wrong?
We're like, oh, it's creepy. Oh, my God. We've been saying creepily this whole time.
Fuck.
I feel like an idiot.
Truly?
Quinn, how are you?
How am I? That's such a good question.
Hearing the actually is tough. Hearing you go,
I'm in finals. I'm in finals, girl.
Oh, it's finals week, baby.
It's finals week. I've taken two and I have one left.
And what's the deal? How's it
Yeah,
going?
Like I'm doing fine. It's, you know, it's, I'm totally doing
A's?
Fine. Yeah, but not without considerable stress or effort. And two of the three tests are open book. So if you don't get an A, you got to be pretty thick. Like,
which is concerning because there are people that are not getting A's on that. And you know that.
I wonder.
Hey,
I mean,
C's get degrees, as the saying goes. I'm not familiar with that. No brags, but they do say that.
Did you ever have, when you were in school, did you, anybody ever do Kahoot with you?
Kahoot?
Yeah, I've got one of my classes. The teacher does something called Kahoot where we all sign into this game essentially on our computers during class. And it makes like a big noise, like Jeopardy, like counting down and like music. And she's put in all these questions in advance. And then it like ticks down. And the faster you answer and you get points for, and like obviously you have to be right. But then there's like a podium with five of the people that are answering the fastest and the best that constantly updates during it. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, there's like a big ceremony for third place, second place, first place. And you all have like these avatars that are things like a koala with a monocle and a pizza on its head.
What's yours?
I always adjust mine to be something with ice cream or pizza on its head. Cause a lot of them are like, you can put like a Albert Einstein wig on or like something that makes it look smart.
Do you think your professor is also using this to sort of like see what your it is? Like
definitely.
Sort of like analyze you guys as well?
For sure. I'm like a bear with earmuffs that's like
that has a coffee mug.
Like I just, it's always got some kind of food that I pick, but
smart.
That's just because I'm always tired. So I feel like the ones that have like ice cream melting on their head look more like how I feel than the ones that look like Albert Einstein or have like a monocle or like one of them's just a brain. One of them just is a brain. And I'm
like,
whoa,
someone,
bold.
That person's not well. That person has like a very high thought, high opinion out of themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait. So I think you've told me about Kahoots. I think I've heard about Kahoots, but I do think like I haven't been in school, and it's crazy to say this because in my mind, I feel like I just graduated college, you know, like
totally.
I've lived my life.
Yeah.
To be fair, we can unpack that later, but I'm like, no, but I guess maybe that's like a generation of time, or maybe it sounds familiar. So I could have like at the tail end, but I think gamifying school. Love that.
I love it too. It makes it more fun. And it was good because it was testing a little bit. Like it was one of the only classes that you felt like if you did the reading, there was like a direct benefit, which was that you would maybe get on the podium. And I did almost every time get on the podium.
How many times did you not? Is when you weren't there.
I think once.
Guys, Quinn's a good student.
I'm a good student. I show up, I do the work. I'm too old not to, and I'm too anxious not to.
Yeah, but I think the latter is actually the answer.
I think I was like a little appalled that no one does. Like so many people don't. Like you're like, wow, bold. Like this one girl was sitting next to me the other day and I was talking about some assignment and she was like, what's that? And I was like, oh, it was due like 3 days ago, this assignment. And she's like, huh. But like, it's amazing because you'll see them, they'll be super calm and she'll be like, oh, okay. And
isn't
you're like,
wild?
I like stressed out about it for 2 weeks and like got it done a week early. And you're finding out about it 3 days after it was due. And probably you'll get the same grade as me. Like, That's the other thing. I feel like the professors are,
you
like are not.
Are you like in an immersive program where like all of these people are testing you? Like they're like, here's what a potential client
would do. Want to know if anyone doesn't pass. Weird. Like, I just want to know. And I feel like, because like even I have some classes that I promise you, like some people have been in half of the time. Half of. Like I've missed one class this semester. There are, and by the way, my virtual class, I went to twice in Costa Rica. Like, you know what I mean? Like I like figured out how to be there. Like I'm it's so just like.
Confused. I mean, I also understand people have work and jobs and they're like, you know, like that. I do understand.
Sure. But like then do the program that you complete. You can this same program you can complete in 3 years instead of two to make it like chiller.
I'm so, you know, whenever I see people calm, I'll be honest. I have a hard time connecting. There. I said,
agree.
It.
Agree. Like when I what see, are you so calm about? I'm are like, you a what? Serial killer?
Like, I don't understand.
You must feel like you have a supreme amount of control to be this calm.
Like, I can't. Or, like, or you feel totally comfortable being not in control. Like, that to me is, like, I think my anxiety is always the perception of, like, wanting to be in control or having, you know, control of what people might think of me or having mm-hmm. control of an outcome of a situation. And so I think either people, like, it's funny that I think your mind goes, they might feel like they have supreme control when I think the actual truth is
totally.
People just feel comfortable not being in control, which is a feeling very unfamiliar to you and me. And it's interesting. I was talking to my therapist about it and I'm under the belief and I don't mean this to speak, to call my family and friends out, but mm-hmm. I'm under the belief that everyone has anxiety. Now, my therapist was like, that's actually...
You're wrong.
Yeah. Well, she was like, there are people that don't feel that way. And I think it's because I surround myself where I see that. But I actually can't fathom.
You were like, name them. Name them.
Show them.
Name them.
Name them. Name them. I was so confused of people being comfortable not having, like, not feeling in control. And mm-hmm. me... The anxiety is a constant energy flow through me.
For real. Can I tell you a funny story that is Absolutely. That there's this person. You're going to love this story. There is a person from my life that, like, when Matt and I first started dating, we were in an acting class together. Mm-hmm. And this woman was in the acting class, too. And she chose a scene and asked to do it with Matt. And it was, like, a makeout scene as well. And we had, like, just started dating. So it was, like, a little weird. But she'd, like, come up to me and be like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I'd be like, yeah, like, I'm fine. Relax. I was just like, don't worry about it, babe.
You're like, actually, and it turns on you. I'm into this.
So then years and years later, she's in this program with me and she's doing the like
this
slow.
Program?
Yes. And she's doing the slow version, the like 3 year version.
Okay.
And she's totally like when we saw each other and noticed each other, it was like, great. Like she was always quirky, but I'm like, nice to see a familiar face. And then there's been a couple projects we've done together in big groups. And I would say like. She runs very anxious, and so she like texts all of us a lot, and and usually it's like to give us assignments, which feels like a little bizarre. Like she'll be like,
boundaries,
"I criticized this part of your paper, but I haven't written my part yet." Like it's a little bit like her priorities are a little off to me. The next thing that happens is we have another project together. And the project is that we had to write a policy brief and then do a slide presentation. There are 5 gals in this project, and one of them made the slideshow. And she said, what I did was I divided the slideshow evenly, and under each slide you can see in the presentation is your name. If it says your name, that's the slide you're presenting on. We're not going to have time to practice, really. So let's just do it on the spot. But you know what slides you're in charge of. Great. No problem. I show up day of. We're going through the slideshow. We're presenting to the class. And she just starts talking during all my slides. Like, as in, she was supposed to stop. And then I was supposed to present. And she just starts talking in a way where the girl running the slides notices that what's happening is she's talking about the next slide. So she clicks to the next slide. And then I turn around and go, that's my slide, to the girl running the presentation. She goes, I know, but this is what she's talking about. And I was like, no, I know. And then she just did all my slides. And I was like, this is crazy. So then I was like, I guess I'll just also do my slides because I'm not going to not say what I prepared. So then I presented my slides, but I was like, and I didn't call her out, but I had an opportunity and thought about it. And then I saw her in the bathroom later and it was like a tense feeling where like she knew she had done it. And then I asked one of the other girls, I said, did you see how she presented on my slides? And she goes, yeah, she showed us what she wrote this morning and we told her, but those are Quinn's slides. And she said, well, I already wrote it. Found out during the presentation. So crazy, right?
Wait, that's gross.
What is that? Is that on purpose? That's is that a microaggression gross. Or is that disorganization? I couldn't figure it out, but I was like, this is weird. I don't think I'll have class with her ever again, though, because she's doing it the 3-year track. So next year she'll be doing all the stuff I already completed.
There's something about it too that bothers me that I'm like, you are going into this is for therapy, like your social work, like why, like everybody should be cool. Like it's, and that's maybe honestly an internal bias I might have where I'm like, everybody should be evolved and wow.
Pretty bizarre, right?
It reminds me of when I was in high school, I was in the show, The Jungle Book. And I was playing Bagheera, nailed it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like a student-run production. And what happened was I was mid-scene, and I might have told the story before, but I was mid-scene, and I missed a line, and I, like, launch into my big monologue, right? Like, mm-hmm. about how I got this scar, about how humans, like, trapped me and all this stuff. And then and so I was like, all right, we got through it. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep hustling through the scene. And this one fucker
says like the line from before.
Yes. Yes.
So you're like, wait, do you want me to reveal?
I reveal how I get this scar. And then he goes, so how did you get that scar? And I said,
I just told you, motherfucker.
I said, you know the story I just said? That.
You just turned it into a comedy. I think it's great. I'm proud of you. And I think you made the play better.
I was like, do you want me to say
you know the thing that just happened? That.
There were a couple moments in my early
See above.
So that thing. Additionally, and this is another related, is that in high school we were auditioning for a play. And it was weird because the audition was like public and mm-hmm. that like people were in the room with you, and it was for Pride and Prejudice. Mm-hmm. And I guess, again, this is high school theater, I was young and unafraid, and oh god, this is so embarrassing. They were like, you need a monologue, and for some reason my ass was like, oh, I don't have a monologue. And so I raise my hand and I deliver. I deliver a monologue that I think I just started crying about something. Like, I don't.
Yeah, you were like, I know what a monologue is. I've seen Seventh Heaven. Here I go.
Jump on in. I am telling you, mortifying. My friend, if I were to text him, he'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I did not get cast. however, I think they offered me the role of assistant stage manager.
Should we just tell stories?
What'd you say?
I said, since we're not having much luck talking, do you want to just tell me a story?
I think it's time for a story, and I think you go first.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll finally tell you the story about Kimberly Sullivan that I've been teasing.
Yes. We'd love to hear it, please.
Yeah. So, like, Carrie and I both read the same headline, apparently, in the New York Times, and then I dove so deep that I also read a USA Today article. Can you believe it? I mean,
I actually do believe it.
What a woman.
Finally, here she is.
This is breaking news because here we are in May and I'm telling you about something that just happened this past February. It happened in Waterbury, Connecticut on Blake Street. And what happened is they got called to a house for a fire and these firemen break in to the house that's on fire and they rescue this guy who's 32 years old. And you think of a 32-year-old, you think maybe he could rescue himself. Not so, frankly. He was 5'9", but weighed 68 pounds.
Oh my God.
So when they're running him out of the house, they're like, whoa, this guy feels like he's not doing great.
And we are out of like fire territory. There is something else going on here.
Yeah. Something's up. Something smells fishy, not just ashy. So they take him in and they're like, what's your deal? And he's like, well, I've actually been captive in that house for my whole life. And they're like, what? And he's like, well, maybe not my whole life. Do you have time for a story? And they're like, yes. I don't think that's what they said.
We get this guy some water and some food. Like he's, the fact that the idea that he's like, let's tell a story. I'm like, that man must have been so weak. Like 68 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the people keeping him in there was his father and his stepmother, who he said that he would spend 23 hours a day locked up in an 8 by 9 foot room. And they released pictures of the house that 8 by 9 foot room was in. And it's hoarder garbage house, like peeling broken apart walls with like pieces of molding and wall and ceiling on the ground in piles and stained carpets. And like if there was ever a leak, it just like maybe it stopped, maybe it didn't, maybe it molded over, maybe like it's just like living in such filth. Like so upsetting to see these pictures. So disgusting. It was giving me like Turpin vibes as well.
Yeah.
So he had a room upstairs that had a slide lock on the outside of it that they could lock him in. And so they're like, oh my God, we got to get this guy oxygen. We got to get this guy food. He smells terrible. And he's apologizing to them for how he smells, being like, yeah, they don't really ever let me bathe. Oh, and they're like, this guy looks like a Holocaust survivor, like just bones. And that's what one of the rescuers said. So he was actually the one that set the fire. This guy, he had like had these little windows of time where he'd be let out of his room, and he found a lighter that, was in an old jacket in the house, and he snuck it into his room. And he was like, you know what? I think I'm ready to do this because I would rather maybe die by fire, or it will give me this opportunity to be set free. And at the time of this happening, so he's 32 and his stepmother, Kimberly Sullivan, is 56 and she gets released on, 3G's bond and they're like, we're going to charge you. Yeah. 300.
Okay. 3 kgs, I think is what you're thinking.
3 kgs, 3 kilograms of what we don't know.
3 G's is 3,000, but 3K, no, that's not right. Anyway, 300,000 bail. That feels more reasonable than 3,000.
I don't know how to say numbers, but I'll tell you there's a 3 and then 5 zeros that come after it.
300,000. Good job.
How do you think I'm going to do on the research test? It's all algebra.
The reason why Quinn doesn't know that is...
X squared.
We've never been paid that much in our life.
Never seen that much money.
I've never seen that much money. But sidebar guy, by the way, did you want to edit the Vanguard episode?
Oh, I don't know. The only thing they can use that for is talking to a Vanguard person. They would still need all my like passwords and stuff. Like,
great.
So I was like, eh. I was also like, who listens to this podcast? And the next thing I do is try to steal all my money. Like, that feels like an aggressive next move.
I trusted someone who stole my money who knew I didn't make a lot. So, you know, people
right.
Be people.
Let's both just still be too trusting. I think that's what makes us likable. little else, if I'm being honest. So she gets charged with kidnapping, assault, cruelty, which I didn't know you could charge someone with cruelty. That maybe feels a little mishy mashy. They're like, you're mean.
It's a Connecticut thing. Boo, you meanie.
You meanie. Unlawful restraint and a reckless endangerment. And she's like, nope, not guilty. What had happened is the dad that you must be wondering about, I'm sure, died a year before this happened. So we don't get to hear from him. But she's now able to say it was him. She's like, first of all, I'm not even this guy's mom. So like, relax.
Not my business.
His dad was the one that had custody, not me. And also, like, what are you talking about? He was just in a room. You were able to come get him. What do you mean? And her lawyer's like, yeah, like, show us the chains that she was using to keep him. And they're like, well, we did all see a lock on the outside of the door. It didn't make us feel great, madam. The story is that I think like the real story behind the story is that this was one of those cases where people saw something and didn't say something, because when this guy was growing up in this house, classmates and neighbors and teachers remember him. He and the principal at his elementary school super remembers him and is like, I remember finding him in the bathroom at school eating his lunch like a crazed animal,
like it was the first food he got all day.
Yeah, and like a panicked way. And he also saw him like drinking water from the urinal as it flushed, like getting fresh water from the urinal in this way that it was like, this behavior is strange. So I'm going to call police. I'm going to call the Department of Children and Families. I'm going to ask what's going on. We're going to say like, look, we're seeing this kid. He's taking food out of the trash and stuff. He's stealing his friend's food. He seems really hungry and really thirsty, and maybe like his basic needs are not being met. And we don't know what they did with that, because like it's been so long now that the documents that you would have to keep about those kinds of phone calls that we're not able to like trace or find anymore. But it seems like the authorities kept being like, no, no, he's okay. The last time we know that the police visited this house was April 18th of 2005.
My birthday.
And what? Yeah. It was because they thought that it was your house.
They thought it was my,
and they were there with a cake, and then they were like, oh, this isn't it.
So uncomfortable. Like, she doesn't live in Danbury, Connecticut.
Okay, well, we got to go to Carrie's, and they left.
I'm sorry, she lives from where the Pope is now from? That's crazy. That's nuts.
Oh, that is crazy, by the way. We have to talk about that.
We do have to talk about that.
Actually, the dad was the one that called the police in that case, because he said, he called and said, people are harassing me. They keep coming to check on my child. Which is like, what?
Jesus.
And they're like, we're homeschooling, like, leave us alone. And you can bet they weren't homeschooling him. He says everything he learned, he taught himself from reading the dictionary. And they had pulled him from school when he's 12. And that's like a common thing where they're sending him to school and then the abuse is getting tracked, and they're realizing that they can't abuse their son to the level that they are and not be found out and not get in trouble. So then they take him out of school so that no one can know.
I mean, I think it's very classic cult abuse behavior, is you realize that if community sees, the only answer is you have to isolate them further. That's, yeah. I mean, we see that in cults. We see that in abusive relationships. We see that in child abuse. It's all very, yep.
Yeah.
It's the same MO.
And the principal's really worried. So there's another kid in the neighborhood, like a neighbor that goes to also the school. And he says, like, to this kid, Peter, and to his family, could you just keep an eye on that family, on that house, on that little boy? Like, and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But they don't obviously see him. They'll see him leaving the house, like, here and there and being in the yard. But they... there's nothing for them to do. And I think people feel uncomfortable. You're not, I don't know. It's,
well, it's that feeling of, it's if something is wrong, what's your business? What's not your business? Do you get involved? I mean, I think people struggle with that thought daily, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, how often do you get involved?
Yeah. Well, this principal really tried.
And
I just like, he kept pushing
managing.
And he making calls.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was nice to see somebody was worried, because then this kid just is not allowed to leave the home or allowed to leave his room, and to a point where like he's not allowed to go to the bathroom. He has like a funnel that he uses to pee out the window, and he poops in newspapers, and then when he gets let out of the room can throw them away. He doesn't go to the doctor, and so it's a miserable life. And at one point he does escape, but it's just so he can steal food from... I think it feels limiting. It's this idea that it's... I think the options vanished from his mind. Like, his mind was being formed when he's so young, that the idea of leaving the house feels like a long shot. So when he would escape, it'd be like, now I'm just going to steal food from the fridge within this house. And then he'd get in trouble and the security would increase and he'd be punished and he'd be like, was it even worth it? And they just threaten him. So his diet is, he has 2 sandwiches a day and a little bit of water, and that's it. And he's eating the same kind of sandwiches all the time. So he's really malnourished. And his teeth, because he never goes to the dentist and he can't brush his teeth or anything like that, just rot away. They're like breaking when he's eating a sandwich. So when I told you right after school he would be allowed to go outside, he'd get an hour outside to do chores. He'd basically get to bring the dog outside to go to the bathroom.
So the dog had a more humane bathroom schedule.
For sure. And it goes from being able to go outside for an hour to being able to go outside for a minute to sometimes just not being able to go outside. And if his stepmom's not around, his dad will let him out of the room to watch TV with him, which, like, what a mensch, right? What a great dad. Father of the year. He has so many mugs that say number one dad. What was going on inside this guy's head? It feels, again, like the Turpins, where it's like one of them must be very mentally ill, probably right. The woman. And then the dad is like, it's like a foile do. It's like he just joins in.
Well, I think it's like they're perfect. It's not even, I would say obviously both of them are culpable, but it's like oftentimes these people might find the like exact perfect storm to create a horrible environment where you have someone who is complacent or someone who is obedient and another who is a big personality dominating. And I think you see it in like both men and women and, you know.
Yeah, I just actually, I recognize how dark and deep it is to keep someone imprisoned and to have that control. The pictures of the house were what really told a story of extremity. You could not actually walk from a door that you walked in to the bed in the room. There's fiberglass all over the floor. Like, the toilet is totally, you can't use the toilet. The way the toilet looked, I was like, oh, you can't use this. Like, I actually don't understand how people were living in the home. So sometimes
my heart too, because that the principal obviously couldn't stop thinking or was really, really, was really concerned about this kid. But yeah. Obviously he can't put all of his energy towards this one child when he also has to manage how many other kids at the school. And this is a person who's, I'm sure, being pulled in so many directions. And I'm sure this isn't, while this might be the most distressing case, like that principal is also dealing with little fires here and there.
Well, there's just honestly only so much he can do. And he was calling the people he was supposed to be calling, and he was calling them over and over again. And I don't know how they missed this. Like, this kid at a certain point was not allowed to leave the space after. And by the way, this adult, we should say, because when the dad dies,
32.
When the dad dies, she just makes kind of a decision like, oh, you're never going to leave the room now. Now that he's gone, I have no reason to let you out. So at one point when he gets out to steal this lighter, he also steals hand sanitizer because he sees that it says it's flammable. And because he reads a dictionary, he does know what that means. So he lights paper printer on fire. And as soon as she notices, the stepmom notices the fire got lit, this is really interesting. She lets him out of his room, of course, so that he won't be trapped, but also, like, they can't find a dead body locked in that room. And she calls people, we don't know who, and says, I need you to come. I need you to help me get these locks off the door. And she's trying to wash this man's face. Basically, she's trying to cover up the abuse as fast as she can because she knows once the fire gets lit, she's going to get found out. So she's like, someone needs to help me get these locks out the door. Like, she has the wherewithal to absolutely know that this is wrong and starts trying to clean him, fix it really quickly. And so he just lays on the ground and pretends that he's dead in the sense that he's, I'm not going to let you fix this. I'm not going to leave the house. I'm not going to be part of the cover up. But the freaky thing to me is we don't know who she was calling.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have, I'm not saying it's these people, but here are the other characters in the story that I haven't told you about. Kimberly Sullivan also had two daughters. Alyssa, who is 29 at the time of this happening. Well, 29 now, probably, depending on her birthday. This just happened. 29, and Jamie, who's 27, who throughout this life, this picture that I have painted, have been totally coming and going. Coming and going. They're not unaware. There's no way they could be. But to a point where a lot of the neighbors that didn't know the little boy thought that this was a family that had two daughters. And they said they watched as these two girls grew up playing in the yard, jumping on a trampoline.
Oh my God.
Yes. The other character is that he has a half sister and that she has been looking for him and was not able to find him. She was adopted and she's looking, looking, looking. And then she found him when this news story broke.
And wait, who's her? Who? What? Which parent do they share?
The dad.
Wait, so this father has another child that was given up for
adoption. Was raised in a different home. And she talks about her brother and is like, he didn't get to go to a concert. He didn't get to see a movie. He didn't get to do anything. Like he's 32. He didn't have a life. And she's like, this is the saddest thing in the world. But the two girls, we don't know, like, if they were abused to a different extent. We don't know what kind of, I told you what the pictures of the house look like. It's just like, we don't know what their life was in that house either. And we don't know what they knew about the brother, except I don't know how you could grow up in that house and not know that somebody that's 3 years older than you or 5 years older than you is also growing up in that house, but locked inside a room. They have not been charged with anything, these two girls, by the way, these daughters. But it paints like an even grimmer, scarier picture where you're like, what? Also, we know what happened with the Turpin kids. And we know that when they came into that house, some of the kids were chained up. Some of the kids weren't. We know that one escaped. We know that some were afraid to leave and some weren't. We know all kinds of like variables exist in this same environment. So I am not saying that they're culpable. Exactly. I'm saying like I wouldn't be surprised if they're abused and it just manifested differently. And there's some other level of exerting control over their free will and that they're afraid too. So I'm not trying to suggest they were part of this. I'm just saying like, we don't know anything about that. And that's a crazy thing to not know anything about.
Who Kimberly was calling. Additionally, these are her kids, right? These daughters are her.
That's right.
These girls are her kids. They're not his kid.
That's right.
I'm making assumptions. I'm aware of that. But I think the fact that she kept him completely locked up for a year after her husband died and it's his kid, I don't know. It feels a little, to oversimplify it, a little evil stepmother Cinderella vibes.
Completely. Completely. It's totally a modern Cinderella story.
It's the Cinderella story of it means like happy ending. Like,
they're really slowly putting nutrients in this guy's body. They have to do it super slowly because of how undernourished he is. Because you can get really sick from like...
It's amazing he survived. It's amazing
he has like a lot of rehab, both physical and mental, to do. Like he's obviously receiving counseling. They're not releasing his name. That anyone would know his name. Like it's like... This guy had no life, like the sister said.
Can you imagine finding out, being the principal in this moment? Because you know, like, that principal would
know. That's such a good point. Yeah, I wonder what he...
I can't imagine.
I think anybody that knew him is going to have a guilt complex about not doing more. And his, you know, he has a lot of muscle wasting and like his knees are deformed. Like his body's really screwed up from living this way as well. And there's only so much they'll be able to do for him in that regard. But he's in every kind of, you know, he's like in a Connecticut medical center getting a lot of rehab for his mind and his body. And I'm so glad that he's free now. Mm-hmm. Who knows what he can do with the rest of this life? I'm just glad he gets to decide what that is. And it's like such a heartbreaking story and such a weird story where it just gives you the creeps where you're like, you just don't know what's going on behind closed doors. It's such a, like almost a Greek mythology level of like, we're keeping this person trapped inside, but for, to what end? It's just, that's the other thing about it. We do a lot of stories where you're like, this person did this for money and power and this and that. And in this case, you're right. Cruelty.
To what end?
Charge her with the cruelty. I guess I'm with you.
Yeah, I think cruelty can be a charge. I'm into that charge. I'm into the cruelty charge. The fact is these people, like, no one did anything. No, how little people thought of this family, of this child.
Mm-hmm.
And this child was neglected and was abused. Like, I guess people don't think about other people as much as I just assume they do. Like, I guess they just don't.
Yeah. She also has a face of someone that doesn't think about people. Can I text? Can I text you her mean face?
Absolutely, text me her mean face.
She's like a very mean, she has a very stepmother face. Here, I'll show you.
So she's like the archetype. This is it. You know what?
How much is this evil stepmother vibes? I just texted it to you. Isn't that like a cartoon of an?
No. It's
exactly what you pictured, right? That's a cartoon of an evil stepmother.
The makeup on her.
I know. Wait, I have another really good one. Let me show you this one too.
God, this is just because this is the stuff of nightmares. This is it.
Yeah. Let me. What about this one? Like, double click that, make it big.
You know what?
Like a Cruella de Vil or something.
Fuck her. It's the cross that kills me, man. She's wearing a fucking big ass cross.
Totally.
Fuck you. Fuck you. With her manicured nails and a big diamond ring with makeup. Like, you had a human being. You had a little boy. You had a fucking child in your care. And you locked him in a fucking closet? And yet you still have time to do makeup? My God. That it's the cross that fucking... That makes me so mad. That makes... Because, I mean, how old was he when he left school?
12.
Oh, my God. That's really jarring, and I don't like that story, but thank you for telling it. I'm glad you covered it. And we still don't know what happened. She's pled not guilty, but we don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even
I'll give you an update when I have one, but that's all the news that's fit to print.
Her defense is
like, good luck, ma'am. Good luck.
Look at this makeup. Would someone with this makeup do that? And it's like, yeah. Someone with that makeup is exactly...
Yes, have you looked in the mirror? You look like an evil stepmother.
I don't like that at all. Well, thanks for sharing. All right, yeah. It's my turn to tell a story. I'm telling the story of Abby Hernandez. I saw some of a 2020 episode. I got some ABC News information, some Wikipedia. Here we go. We're in North Conway, New Hampshire, and... Interestingly enough about New Hampshire, which I didn't realize, is apparently it's one of the safest states in the whole country. I did not go further into this sort of offhand statistic because what would make a safe state? I don't know. But I do know this about New Hampshire. The tagline is live free or die. Did you know that?
That doesn't seem safe.
That feels not safe. You know what New Hampshire is safe from? Taxes.
Hell yeah.
They're really big into living free and then or dying. So maybe we need more death threats in our state mottos, and maybe that's what would make it safer. Do you think that's it?
It's the amount of pressure they put on you to
like,
be
like
safe.
In Illinois, it's like the state of Honest Abe, and they're like, 2 week, we're going to fucking kill everyone. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. What's New York State's a motto? Let's see.
Get out.
I'm
Forget about here. It. Forget about it. Is that it?
I'm no? just scary. New York motto.
What is it?
Excelsior.
Would never, never have guessed. Excelsior. Okay.
Which means ever upward. Okay. Well, guys, that's really... Wait, I want to know Florida state motto. Sorry. And you have to see. Florida state motto. Florida man. Oh God, it's bad.
Do you know what is it?
Florida state motto is?
Yeah, what is it?
In God we trust.
I feel unwelcome.
I feel really like Colorado state motto. Let's see that. Nil sine numine.
I mean, you can't really critique that one, which is smart.
Latin, dead language. Latin for nothing without providence or deity.
Okie dokie. It's a little like puffed up for my taste.
It feels like of all the states, like Colorado, who are full of like stoners and skiers, and
they're like we're gonna put it in Latin.
Let's do this. Nothing above providence or deity, which is like they were like we could have done in God we trust, but they're like Florida's got that, and I'm not interested. I'm good. Don't want to touch it. Okay. So anyway, so New Hampshire, a safe state. Live free or die. Abby Hernandez lives in North Conway with her mom, who is a nurse. She is divorced, so she's a single mom, and she lives with her sister, Sarah. It's October 9th, 2013, and Abby is coming home from high school, Kennett High School, and she is a freshman, and it's October, so she's only really been in school for like a month or two, so she's still new to the high school, and she's walking home, but she never arrives home. And her mom notices this and she's like, huh, that's super weird. She texts her. She has access to a phone. And she's like, maybe she's just staying at school with her friends. Maybe she has an after school activity. I don't know. But her mom gets that horrible sinking feeling that her daughter wouldn't not text her. Her daughter would be home typically. And so her mom drives to the school thinking that maybe she's at school with her friends still. She goes into the school. She asks the librarian if she's seen her daughter. And the librarian says that she saw Abby leave the school grounds after school was over, but she does not come home. Mom is a nurse, and so she has this other fear that something happened and her daughter is in the hospital somewhere. So she calls the hospitals and she says, has anyone come in matching this description? Nothing, no information. There's no sign of Abby. As it's important to note, too, that often in these cases, did this girl run away? And there's no suspicion that Abby ran away. That doesn't even cross her mom's mind. That does not cross her friend's mind, especially because Abby's birthday is 3 days away and they were planning a big birthday party. And so the fact that no one's heard from her is very suspicious. So by 7 p.m. that night, her mom files a missing persons report. And as soon as they start investigating, they're not able to find like any information. Like she disappears without a trace. The closest thing that they're able to just look at in terms of forensic evidence, in terms of like physical evidence, is that at 2:53 p.m., she sent a heart emoji to her boyfriend. You know, it was like, I love you. It was like a heart. And then by 3:07, so less than 20 minutes later, her phone goes dark. There's no signals of it being picked up anywhere.
Okay.
So something happened between 2:53 and 3:07. This search for Abby launches one of the largest searches in the state's history. Nightly, they have press conferences. Obviously, they utilize the family to make pleas to the public for their daughter's return. There is a newspaper that will be constantly keeping track of Abby and listing the amount of days that she has been gone in the local newspaper, and they do not let up. After 9 months of Abby just being gone without a trace, her mom is at home, and all of a sudden she hears, Mom? Mom is on the phone.
And she's been gone how long?
9 months.
9 months.
Her mom is on the phone. She hears Abby say her name. She turns around. Abby sees her mother and she sees the 9 months of stress on her face from her daughter missing, and Abby walks into her home.
Wow.
Now let me tell you how we got to this place. October 9th, 2013, Abby is walking home. She is abducted by a man and she is driven 30 miles north of Conway and she is held in a shipping container. She is held by a 34-year-old man named Nathaniel Kibbe. Terrible name. Terrible guy. He subjects her to sexual assault and to torture, both physical and psychological. When she is put in the shipping container, he tells her that it is tripped with wires so that if anyone were to break into this shipping container, it will all blow up. He made her call him master. There was a camera in the corner of the room and it blinked constantly. So she believed that she was constantly being watched. She was starved. She was deprived of light. He ends up putting her in a shock collar, like what dogs wear, to keep her quiet. So any noise she makes, it would shock her. And wow. So he would test it on her. So she would put it on, and then he would tell her to scream. And as she
and shock herself, voice,
it would shock her. And so then he would say, okay, now you know what it feels like. While she was alone in the shipping container, she would start to write letters to her family, just hoping that she would see them again someday, or there was a way she could mail it, right? She's just trying to figure out any ways of connecting to the outside world. And when he finds out, he punishes her. He held a stun gun to her feet, and she recalls how horrible it was and how she tried not to scream. And he only stopped because he said he saw the look in her mouth. It's a very confusing thing, but I think she was in such pain mm-hmm. and she couldn't scream that I think he saw something in her mouth that like was like, oh, that's, I should stop. I don't know. But she said that that was the most pain she ever experienced. During all this time, she knew she needed to survive. So she employed a tactic that a lot of abuse victims use, which is she tried to ingratiate herself to him. She convinced him that she was his ally, right? So she would also say, I don't judge you for this. If you let me go, I won't tell anyone about this. And then she would say things like, look, you don't seem like a bad person. Everybody makes mistakes. If you let me go, I won't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And her captor, Nathaniel, started slowly trusting her more and more. And then he started asking her to help in his other illegal hobby, which was counterfeiting money. In his basement. And she Got went it. Along with it, with what he wanted to do. She just was saying yes in the hope that she would survive. And because he started to trust her, he gave her books to read. And it was in one of those books that she discovered his name. And in one of the books it was in, it said Nathaniel Kibbe. And she goes, who's Nate Kibbe? And he looks at her and he goes, how did you know my name?
Okay, Nate.
So kind of an idiot, right? So she recalls holding on to hope because also she recalls seeing the newspaper where they were tracking how many days she was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And this gave her an intense amount of hope because she knew people were still looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every day that they counted, she had knowledge that there were people out there, including her family, that wanted her back. And this gave her hope. She's missing for 385 days. And she would say later, I remember never saying amen in my mind when I ended my prayers because I didn't want God to leave me. So she would pray and she would leave the prayers open so that God wouldn't leave her.
Ugh.
While he is holding her captive, while he's counterfeiting money, he meets this woman, Lauren Monday. She meets him online. He gives her three $50 bills to pay for a hotel room. She goes to Walmart and she uses one of those $50 bills. And it's there that they reveal that it's a counterfeit $50 bill. And so she reaches out to him and she's like, listen, whatever you're making in your damn basement, you better clean it up quick because they're coming for your ass, is what she says. Now, she does not know about the young girl he's holding captive, but she's like, listen, you fucking give me counterfeit money, I'm going to fucking call you out. So this freaks him out. She's going to the police. She's going to tell them what's going on with this counterfeit money, not knowing that there's something else nefarious lying in wait. This freaks him out. So he starts panicking. Now, mm-hmm. this is a very dangerous situation because he could do one of two things, right? He could kill Abby so that they never find him. But mm-hmm. what he does is, I think it's because she's told him constantly that she will never rat him out, that he trusts her. He takes Abby out of the shipping container. It's July 2014, again, 9 months after she's been abducted. He drives her back to where he initially picked her up, and he just lets her out of the car. She's wearing his hat. He says, give me my hat back. She does, and he just drives off. She is a mile from home. She walks to her home. She walks in. She yells, Mom. She sees her mom. They are reunited.
9 months.
9 months of just taking this girl and then releasing her right back where he picked her up, which feels like just a disgusting dream. Like, what is the point? What is going on? She immediately goes to the police. she shares his name. She shares whatever information about the location she has. And 1 week later, the police storm the property. They arrest Nathaniel Kibbe, who's 34 years old, and he will eventually plead guilty to 7 felony counts, including kidnapping, sexual assault. But interestingly enough, he is not charged with counterfeiting. He is serving a prison sentence of 45 to 90 years outside of New Hampshire. Live free or die. Die, bitch. And she talks about how hope is what carried her through, which we see often in these kidnapping, torture, you know, survivors. But she endured insane amounts of trauma, of torture. She ended up doing an interview with 2020, and she said that all you can do is have hope, and not losing hope is what made her survive in the end. She's a hairdresser now. She has a child, and she's living her life. And the nightmare of these 9 months, I'm sure, does not leave her easily, but she's just trying to survive. And that's a story of Abby Hernandez and her harrowing story.
I can't believe that. That's like, I'm so glad she got to go home.
I'm just like, the horror of her family, how they must have felt. But also, like, I think what was so crazy about that is just the unlikelihood of them ever having found her.
Yes.
If he didn't release her. I think that to me is the craziest, is we hear these harrowing stories of whether they freed themselves or whether they were found out or, you know, they ran away, whatever it is. It's like this guy just kidnapped this young girl for 9 months and abused and tortured her.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9 months later, he just drove her back and let her go because he was afraid the police were going to come after him for counterfeiting money. I've never seen anything like it.
No, it's really shocking.
And then he was worried about the counterfeiting money, and then he was not charged for counterfeiting money in the end.
No.
Like, it just is a bit of a head scratcher.
Least of their concerns.
But like it's not a case that I think a lot of, because she was so young at the time, and I think she has been quite quiet about her experience, and rightfully so. She deserves all the peace in the world. And here I am telling her story, so fuck me. But I saw it on 2020, and yes, that's the story of Abby Hernandez. Yeah. Wow. 2 stories of people being held against their will. And you know what? It doesn't feel good.
If you want, I can meet you at one when I'm done with group and do another. If you want to do like the shorty or something,
Oh, I mean, I'm working.
Oh, well, up to you.
I'm working. I can't.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, guess what I got invited to this weekend?
Sorry.
It's okay. Did she tell you? I texted her. I was like, damn it. Quinn already booked me to babysit. If not, I would have said no to her ass.
I mean, don't you see there's a world where...
I'm all good. I feel... Okay, wait, but what time am I coming on tomorrow?
Well, why don't you come early and I'll make you dinner.
Amazing. What time are you leaving there?
To go to Rosie's? Mm-hmm. Like 8?
Amazing.
So you want to come early and like I can either make you, do you want to choose? I have fresh amberjack or shrimp.
Ooh, shrimp. You know I love shrimp.
Okay, great.
What's amberjack?
I don't know. It's what the fish was this week. So we'll see. It's a big fish and it sort of looks pinky purpley like a tuna or something. I've never cooked it, so
my friend is having me over. If my friend's having a little party at 4, so I'm gonna go there for like an hour or two and then I'll come over to you.
Great.
Perfect. Love it.
That'll be fun because we can hang out and you can help me get ready and do my hair.
Yeah, I can do your hair. Happy to. More than happy to.
And make me look so pretty.
Should we do like you know what I might do? Should I do a braided crown on your head?
Yes.
And we can maybe if you get little flowers, we can put flowers in it for the spring.
Flowers in your hair. Right? It takes a boy, but a man to pretend he was there. You know that song?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well.
Also, for next week. Oh, I'm getting my hair cut next Tuesday. Fuck yeah.
What are you going to ask for? What will be the directive?
I would love to get your thoughts. I haven't gotten my hair cut. Have you cut your hair since I cut your hair?
No.
Okay, same. It's been since September since I cut my hair. The question is, do I keep it? Do I go long or do I go short?
It's hard to say. Summer's beginning. But it's always fun to look like a mermaid in the summer, too.
Yeah. And I
maybe keep it long.
Long layers, 90s bangs.
You can't do bangs. You got so mad last time.
No, no, no. Curtain bangs. I like curtain bangs. Okay. I don't like, no, this.
I was
bangs.
Like, you got very mad last time and told me to not let you do that again. So I feel like our friendship requires me to speak up in this moment.
No, not these bangs. These bangs.
Fun.
I can do those bangs.
Love.
Right. Maybe I keep it long.
Yeah. YOLO.
I'm ready to mingle, baby.
Yeah. I wish there was a way. If I had like 1,000 people that could babysit for me, things would be different. But my kids don't like a lot of people.
They like me. And I also like seeing them. That's also the other thing.
I just also know Griff will be so happy. But it is across the street. So there is a world where you get to do both.
I know. I'm not particularly worried. I think it would be fun to do like a little French braid crown. If you could get little like baby's breath or like little fake flowers, I could put it in your hair. And I think it'd look really pretty.
Fun.
For tomorrow night, because it's a spring party.
Let me see what I can get my hands on.
And then I'm going to have to do Koa's hair.
For sure.
I love that. I love doing his hair. I love how he looks at himself in the mirror when I do his
hair. Oh my God, he's such an absolute beauty queen.
He's so funny. Okay, we just spent like how many more minutes chatting about schedule, which I don't know. Maybe we keep it. Maybe.
Oh my God, I would never do that to my worst enemy. We already made them take a tour of your fucking house. We're not doing that. Carrie, look at this picture. Look at my house. Do you guys want to hear what our scheduling? I can do between 1 and 2. It's like pretty soon people are going to really turn. They're going to turn against us.
Well, they could stop the episode. They probably are like, they had stories over goodbye. They probably don't stay for the stories. They probably stop after we start bantering. They're like, ugh, these bitches. They don't know shit.
I like to think some are just here for the songs. And when there aren't any, they're so disappointed.
It's so fun because you really can't appease everyone, because there are people that are like, please stop with the songs. There's people that are like, love the songs. And you're like, well, I'm getting a lot of mixed signals here.
I think most people don't like the songs, but I don't think we should stop doing them. Whatever.
Do you think we'd get more Patreon if we stopped singing?
It's tricky. I don't know.
Wait, we do need to talk next step about the Pope being from Chicago.
Crazy.
Crazy. Okay. Hey, dear readers, we love you. Goodbye.
Bye, dear readers.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.